I'm going to talk about reliance. It's a bit of an unusual word, reliance, so I discovered we don't use it very much, but I'm sure we all know what it means, reliance. Open up to Luke chapter 6. This follows on a little bit from Ian's talk on Wednesday. So, a bit of reliance. Luke chapter 6. Of course, the great theme through the talk will be relying on the Lord. So, Luke chapter 6. Find that there is often a cluster of themes in talks, and perhaps this is a cluster, a reliance cluster. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we understand that the rock that it's referring to is the Word. Jesus Christ was the Word that became flesh. So when we rely on the Word, we build our whole house on it. We build our whole lives, like the structure of our lives, on this rock. And we dig deep to set it firmly on the Word. And this last week, you'll all remember that I wrote the wrong scripture down. And praise the Lord, you all hollered back at me at what the right one was. But I remember before I turned to that scripture, I was not confident. You know, it was like this rock had slipped away. It's like how much we rely on the Word. And that was just a small example of how much I also rely so heavily on the Word when I'm standing up here, prattling away. I turned to the wrong scripture and it just totally destabilized me at the time. Remember, I was so frustrated. And but then when I turned to the right scripture, there we go. I've got my house on the rock now. So we rely so heavily on the rock, on the Word. And the Lord says here, Jesus Christ says that we build our whole house on that rock, that immovable rock. Jesus says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchangeable. So what a great rock to rely on that does not move. And it starts out with, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So we lay all our confidence on the rock. You know, we say, Lord, Lord, okay, we'll do what you say. That's all our confidence, the reliance. We place it all on his Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In these days of many ideas and many thoughts and people questioning a lot of things. I suppose it's always been the case. There's nothing new under the sun. But it's a time where we've got to remember to rely heavily on the Lord and on his Word, which we carry around with us, which is a great blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. It was yes. So the promises that came, that Jesus and God has laid down are yes. They're not yes and no, they are yes. We've got these promises we can rely on. I'm not saying, oh, that promise is yes and this promise is no, that promise doesn't apply. You know, it's yes. It's a great promise. The things in his word are yes. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So it says there as well that Where's it go? Yeah. He which establishes us. He which sets us on a rock. He who does these great things and provides great promises and has anointed us, it says simply in verse 21, is God. It is God that did all these great things, that performed great miracles in our lives. It is God who anointed us. It is God that allowed Jesus, his own son, to die for us, that we may be perfect before him through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is God that establishes us. It is God in whom we trust. It is God in whom we rely on. He is our rock. Over to chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul had amazing revelations. We can read about it. He was caught up into the third heaven. Phenomenal revelations. Like, he was not there following Jesus Christ, but he was the apostle born out of season. And phenomenal experiences he would have had. And it says here, lest he should be exalted above measure. The Lord sent this messenger of Satan to humble him, because the Lord likes us to be humble. And he sought that this thing, this trouble around him, would be taken away. But the Lord answered, my grace is sufficient for thee. So that is the answer that the Lord gave. The Lord wanted him to rely on God and know that God has got it all in hand. And it says there, the Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. Right? So, and Paul himself said, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. And we understand that when we're weak, we've got nothing else. Oh Lord, I have to rely on you. You know, and so relying on the Lord makes us strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. If we are strong in our own flesh and we think we can achieve so much in our own flesh, we're not relying on God. And God will always be stronger than us. So Paul here was, I guess you say, broken down. And God just said, rely on me. When you are weak, then you are strong, because you're relying on that thing which is so strong, that solid rock that is unchangeable. Daniel chapter 2. So the book of Daniel is a great inspiration. Daniel was a phenomenal young bloke who trusted in the Lord. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamt dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams, because he forgot. So they came and stood before the king. Just jump to verse 8. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom, to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the king thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So here's this case where he was about to be killed along with all the other wise men. But Daniel, it says here that he approached the captain of the guard, who was there to kill him, approached him with counsel and wisdom. Okay? So he had acquired this counsel and wisdom by trusting God in the past. You know, we through time, we can trust God as well through experience and fellowship, talking about things of God. We can approach things in future with counsel and wisdom. And he asked with confidence. He went to the king and said, "Look, can I have a bit of time here?" You know, he had that trust in God. He trusted God that God would show him. And praise the Lord, he did. And Daniel, when the secret was revealed to Daniel, he blessed the God of heaven. You know, what great rejoicing. He had this death sentence over him. His reaction was to fall back and trust God. And God revealed it to him. God was true. His word is true. And this is an incredible example of faith. Faith in that God will answer. And he didn't have the Holy Spirit. You know, we have this Holy Spirit in us. We are the tabernacle of the living God. So we have this Holy Spirit. We can pray in tongues. And here's an example of a man who didn't have the Holy Spirit and through experience knew that he could trust in God and rely on him. He had that reliance that passed all understanding. And you can read further in the book of Daniel where he just trusted God. He always gave God the glory. It's because of God. It's because of this. Because of God that that these things have come to pass. And so us also filled with the Spirit in an assembly, we have the comfort of an assembly with vast experience bringing together that we can then also rely on God. Genesis chapter 37, it's a bit of a story of Joseph, great inspiration also, and as we lead our lives here and just doing the things of the Lord, we see, you know, parallels with the story of Joseph. So we come up to a point where Joseph was clearly favoured by Jacob. And his brothers were envious, they were jealous, and the brothers were quite a way away from home, tending the flocks. Jacob sent Joseph to bring him word of how they were going. And he approaches the brothers in verse 23. "And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colours that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then were passed by Midianites' merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt." And then we go through events where he is ultimately he's sent to a slave market. And then in chapter 39 and verse 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt with the Ishmaelites, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he had, And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favoured. So he is still a slave. He's still serving this master. And he is doing the work of the Lord. He's focused on the Lord, and the Lord has blessed him and made him prosperous. And now we, as we walk on earth, we have a choice of two masters to serve. One is God and one is mammon. Either way, we're a servant. So if we serve God, we are serving him. And we just do the work of the Lord, and the Lord will bless, as he did with Joseph. But then we go further, read further on, and you'll find that he was falsely accused of doing something very bad, and he was thrown into prison. So down in verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So it gets worse for Joseph, as we know. He's now thrown in prison. Yeah, have to be careful here. Because sometimes we may feel trapped. You know, sometimes we want to do stuff. We just want to do our own thing. You know, we're human beings. We just want to fly the coop. You know, we've got wings on our ankles. We just want to do things. But sometimes we may feel trapped. You know, like Joseph, he was trapped in this prison, physically trapped. But he remained faithful to the Lord. He still remained faithful. It says here, the Lord was with Joseph. So even if we feel trapped in a place we don't physically want to be, we still serve the Lord, we still remain faithful as Joseph did. And the Lord, you rely on the Lord, and the Lord will show you mercy. It's his promise. And then after this, while still in prison, Joseph interpreted a couple of dreams. He asked favour, but they forgot. And then it comes to a point, chapter 41, before this as well, Pharaoh had a dream, and then somebody remembered, oh, this bloke called Joseph, he can interpret dreams. This dream that greatly troubled Pharaoh. And chapter 41 and verse 37, prior to this, Joseph interpreted the dream. Verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man? This is a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. So now he's ruling the nation of Egypt. He came from that place of slavery, that place of entrapment where he just couldn't move. He has now been raised up and he's ruling the nation of Egypt. Because he was a faithful servant, he relied on the Lord. He knew the Lord had things in hand. And we'll read in chapter 45 his conclusion of the matter, which expresses that. Genesis chapter 45, so prior to this, the rest of his family come by and now he's shown himself to his family. Genesis chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me," and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." So that's Joseph's conclusion to the people that originally wanted to kill him and sold him into slavery. He just plainly says there that it was God who sent me before you. It wasn't you who sold me into slavery. It was all part of God's plan. You know, it's part of God's plan that we dwell here on earth and that we serve him. It's part of God's plan that we rely on him heavily, like Joseph did. Through all those circumstances, he relied on God. He knew God had it all in control. He also didn't have the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he knew that it was all in hand. He knew he could rely on this unchangeable God. He says here that it was all God's doing to preserve life and to preserve God's own heritage, which was the nation of Israel. And this here, the time of Joseph's slavery and imprisonment, is analogous to the 40 years of wilderness, the experience of walking through the 40 years wilderness for the nation of Israel and consequently us walking here on earth. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is where God basically explains, you know, why he suffered Israel to wander through the wilderness. And we can think also why the Lord suffers us to walk about on the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." So we walk here on earth, and this is what the Lord's doing. He's humbling us. He's suffering us to hunger, you know, that we may rely on him. I mean, it just plainly says there, so that we might know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. We rely on the word of God. We rely on this rock. So that when we have trouble, as Paul did, you know, he was buffeted by this messenger of Satan, just rely on me. Just look on to me. Look on to the Lord. He will not leave you nor forsake you. When you are weak, then you are strong. So this nation of Israel walking through the desert, no water, no food, they relied on God. That's when they were strong. They were still strong enough to fight as an army. And likewise, Joseph and Daniel, relying on the Lord. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So just think of the story of Joseph. You know, he was there. He was just wanted to serve the Lord, doing the Lord's work. Good testimony, working as unto the Lord. He was then raised up to be the ruler of Egypt. So we've got these 2 examples here, these faithful servants of God. They were faithful. They had something amazing that was given to them, and they were faithful in relying on the Lord. They had that faith in the Lord. And then as a result, he made them ruler over many things. It's like they raised them up to rule over Egypt. And to enter the joy of thy Lord. You know, when I was reading that closing account of Joseph to his brothers, I mean, what joy, you know, what amazing joy is reunited with his family. He'd entered this joy of the Lord. He was in a position of authority. And so we, raised up, will enter the joy of our Lord if we just remain faithful. If we carry on relying on him, you know, simply relying on him. Just back to chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. So again, back to the story of Joseph. He was serving his master in Potiphar's house and also in the prison. Just even when his masters weren't watching, he was still doing the right thing, you know, holding the house and the prison together, you know, doing the right thing. And in like providing, I guess, you know, being the chief servant in Potiphar's house, making sure everyone gets fed right, making sure everyone is catered for properly. And like he's giving them meat in due season. And then he was almightily blessed when the Lord rose him up to rule over the whole of Egypt, over all his goods. And so us, we go about relying on the Lord, doing his work, and he'll raise us up. You know, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord, which is our great aim. Okay, last scripture, Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Down to verse 27. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? You know, great words. The Lord has purposed in his heart. He's put these words on paper, full of promises. We can rely on them because he wants things to come to pass so it shall stand. Who can disannul what he's already said? His hand is stretched out to do things. Who can push it back? You know, that's how powerful it is. That's how powerful God is. His word is all powerful. So let's rely on it. We can rely on it. It will not move. It's a solid thing that we can build our whole house, our whole lives on. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which by the gospel is preached unto you. His word endures forever. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He holds his word above his name. His name being his reputation. His word is almighty. It's something we can rely on. We can draw upon. And as Pastor Darrell said, we can use it as medicine. We can throw the scriptures out and encourage each other. No matter what circumstance we're in. We are serving the Lord. Sometimes it feels like we're trapped, but we still carry on grinding out, serving the Lord, doing the work of the Lord. Okay, thank you. I'll hand over to Ian now. He's got the communion.